It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
Welcome to this another edition of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm so thankful to be with you, so glad we have this opportunity that we might once again open up God's Word, that we might study together and learn from the Bible, the book of God. If you will, get a Bible out and follow along with the things we're going to study. Certainly feel free to take any notes that you'd like to take and study along as we spend time together in the book of God for a little while. We have a little bit different today because I was able to get two people to come sit in with us today. Of course, folks are familiar with Jordan. Everybody knows Jordan Lawson. Glad Jordan's with us. And we also have another special guest, and that is Brother Stan Adams. And Stan is from North Carolina, and glad that he could be with us. He preaches over in North Carolina. But I was able to get a hold of him, and we're able to be together and spend some time in the book of God. So I want to say hi to Stan right now, and go ahead and tell everyone hi.
Okay. Good to be with you today. Thank you for the invitation. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so glad you're here, Stan, and glad for Jordan to be with us as we study together from the book of God. You know, something that comes up from time to time, and Stan and I was talking about this before the program started, and something comes up from time to time is that people talk about, of course, on their mind, what's on their mind is salvation so much of the time. We are lost people, and whenever we think about our sin, when we think about things we've done in our life, things that we regret from our past, things that certainly weigh on our minds and on our conscience, and then we think about what lies ahead. We think about, we know that this world is not forever. We know that we're not going to be here forever. So what happens afterward? And, of course, with that comes the subject of salvation and things. A lot of people today that want to tell you all their different theories about salvation. But what we're interested in is what the Bible teaches about salvation. What does it take? What does it mean to be saved or be a saved person? What's necessary to be saved? You know, Stan, whenever I hear folks talking today, I'll hear people say that you're saved by faith alone, and that if you just believe, and if you'll just believe really strongly, then that just saves you. And sometimes you'll hear people say, well, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it sounds like it's faith only. So folks say, well, you just believe and that's enough. Or Jordan, sometimes people say, well, just pray a little prayer. And if you'll pray a prayer and, pray, Lord Jesus, save me, or Lord Jesus, I love you, please forgive me, or whatever. And it's interesting, the prayers tend to vary, depending on who's suggesting it. The prayers will even tend to vary on what you're supposed to say. But if you'll pray a little prayer, then that's enough. So if you pray only, then that's salvation. Or if you believe only. Sometimes we get caught up in the subject of grace, and here's God's grace. Well, you're saved by grace only. And just on and on that goes. What is it, though, that saves a man? And that's what we want to talk about here for the next little bit, is what is necessary to save people, what's necessary to make ourselves right in the sight of God. And I'm going to just go ahead and let Stan begin with us and talk about this subject together.
Well, appreciate it, Jared. As you said, the biggest problem we have today, we all have a common problem. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you do, or how rich you are, how poor you are. We all have a sin problem. We all have to be saved, or we're lost. We're either saved or lost. God's black and white. It's either saved, lost. It's either right, wrong. And there are absolutes with God. And too many times today, that word that you were using there that people come up with is the word alone. It's not a question of what the Bible teaches so many times. It's a question of what people think the Bible teaches or what it says or what it doesn't say. Or they want to add words. And that was the biggest problem from the beginning, that the devil just added a word, thou shalt not surely die. And one word made all the difference. Same thing with salvation. No question that grace saves us. There's no question that faith saves us. There's no question that a number of things in the Bible save us. But none of them alone save us. And people want to just, as I see it, Jared, they want to just put out there these different ideas and the different scriptures as if they're competing against one another. And as if you're spinning the wheel of fortune, just spin the wheel. And wherever your salvation comes up, wherever it drops, you've got a passage for it, just use that only, and that's good. Well, the Lord doesn't give us that option. It's not multiple choice how we're saved. We have to do all of what God has said, and we have to abide by all that he has told us to do and not pick and choose, just cherry-pick the scripture, so to speak. So we have to come into what we're going to be talking about this afternoon, and that is, what does the Bible say about what saves us? And the Bible is very clear about many things that save us. And if you were to go through your Bible, you would find in excess of 20 or more different concepts of what it takes to save us. God says, and God's word teaches us. And it's God's word that is the authority, not your church, not my church, not your preacher, my preacher, my favorite person. It's what does the Bible say. And that's always the determiner, because that's the book upon which we'll be judged. And so we'll get into that in just a minute. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8, and 9, that God saves us. As you look there, it says, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who saved us. Mm-hmm. So God has saved us. So do we have to do anything? If God saved us, we don't have to do anything. Don't have to say a prayer. Don't have to have faith. God saves us. I'm going to pick that one. And I'm going to go with just what that says. God saves me. Leave me alone. I'm saved because God saved me. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does teach that God saves us, but it doesn't leave it there. In Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Well, now we have Jesus saving us. Which one are you going to choose? Which one is only? Is it God only? Is it Jesus only? If we're going to do onlys, we can put that word on all of them, can't we? But you just can't do that. Well, we go into Ephesians 1 and verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, talking of Jesus, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. So according to that, Christ's blood saves us. Mm-hmm. Saved by the blood of Christ, saved by Christ, saved by God, saved by, well, which one is it? Let's just spin the wheel. Let's just find out where we're going. Let's just pick one. And I have as much right to do that as you do. But no one has that right. That's the point. What do you think about that, Justin? Are we on what the Bible says?
Yeah. So what do you think about that, Jordan, when you think about these kind of answers? I mean, what would we say to somebody? I mean, it does seem kind of confusing if we're not respecting the context. We got God saving us, Christ saving us, the blood saving us. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, we could add to that, talks about how we're saved by grace. So how do we know then? Let's talk about this, Jordan. And
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said paying attention to the context. Because if we just pick scriptures out and say, I want to be saved by the grace of God and the grace of God alone saves me, and ignore every other passage, and then that's when we can get into trouble. And then also we have to consider that God has a plan that he had before the world was. I mean, we think about, you know, the scheme of redemption. We don't learn that one specific thing saves us, but God in his wisdom and in his plan, we learn that there are multiple things that save us, that are necessary for salvation.
Exactly. You can just keep on adding to it on there, Jared, because you go to Titus 3 and verse 5, we're saved by mercy. Well, God certainly is a merciful God. It says there, according to his mercy, he has saved us. We're saved by the mercy of God. Are these exclusive ideas? Do we pick out mercy? Do we pick out grace? Do we pick out God, Jesus, whoever, and just leave the rest of what God said about salvation alone? I'm not a real mathematician, but I'll tell you, I do know this much. All of mathematics is not formulated in one fact. You don't know all the principles of mathematics, but just knowing one and ones two. It's going to get you in trouble on the job. That's all. Well, I know mathematics. Or you go in and apply for a job. Are you a math genius? Yep, I sure am. I know one and ones two, so that's all I need to know. I'm going to let, I'm going to rest my whole job on that. No, no, no. You need to know more about math than just 1 and 1 is 2. So let's learn all of what the subject that we're dealing with says, and that which is salvation. And then let's apply it as God wants us to. Apply it in context. Don't pull a passage out of context. Don't just pick a passage that's your favorite and leave all the rest of them alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says here that the gospel saves us. Brethren, I declare to you the gospel that I preached unto you, and ye have received, and wherein you stand, and by which you are saved. Well, we know Romans 1:16 teaches the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So the gospel saves us. Mercy saves us. We keep mounting them up here. Here they come. You know, let's just put them on the wheel. Let's just spin that wheel. Pick yours. Pick your favorite. Whatever your church teaches or your preacher or your grandma or your granddad believe, just pick one. Leave the rest of them alone. That's all it takes. You don't believe that, do you, Jared?
Well, it kind of gets harder to believe when you put it like that, because it's not just one thing alone. When you begin to read and study the scriptures, there's things that all these things are brought up as connected with salvation in some way. And kind of like you touched on the subject of mathematics, but you know, it's part of a larger subject, you might say, or part of a larger truth that says that there's various spokes, various things that go with this. Kind of like the human body. The human body is not just an eyeball, you know. It's not just an ear. It's not just, you know, fingers or toes. And there's all things that are connected with the human body to make it one unit or one whole. And so also when you think about salvation, there's various parts or pieces that come into this. And I know we're going to get into this in a moment, but I mean, we haven't even talked about yet the subject of what I have to do. So far, what we've talked about is everything God's been doing. Mercy, grace, blood, you know, just by God's will. God wants us to be saved. So if that's all true, then maybe I don't have to do anything. And kind of like the universalist plea and the universalist idea that just says everybody's saved anyway. God just loves you, everybody's saved. And then that's the end of that. And you know, we just see this over and over, the love of God saves us. God so loved the world. We made this point a moment ago, but John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's the motivation for God sending his son? It was love. Well, but for what purpose was he motivating? What is he motivated to do? He is motivated to save us. So love motivated that so that we can be saved when he sent his only begotten son. So again, we can add something else to the list, couldn't we? And even hope. Romans 8 verse 24 talks about hope saving us. And so Jordan, whenever you think about that, I mean, there's a lot of things that start adding up then. Is it right for somebody? And I mean, you tell us about this, Jordan. Is it right for somebody to say, well, since we talked about hope and grace and love and mercy and blood, and then I'm just going to pick love, and that's the one. Or I'm going to pick the blood of Christ, and that's the one. And I'm going to say blood saves you. Or I'm going to say hope saves you. Are we right to do that?
We're not right to do that, because my mind immediately goes to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 21 through 23, about how many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but they didn't do what the Lord said. Let me just turn to that passage real quick. I don't want to misquote it. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord says,
okay.
And everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So we think about, you know, the will of the Father. We can't just pick one thing that we like that God reveals and says, hey, I'm going to ignore everything else, and God, you're still going to have to accept me. That'd be us like almost telling God what to do. But, you know, God says there's multiple aspects that are involved in our salvation. So if we're truly servants of God, we're going to, you know, accept what God says on his terms and do what he says.
Exactly. On that note, I don't know how it is in Kentucky and Florida, but I'll tell you how it is in North Carolina. We got a bunch of people up here that'll tell you that you don't have to do anything. Just what you said. God's done it all for you. Not a thing you can do. Of course, that's not what Philip told the eunuch, was it? The eunuch said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What a great time for the eunuch to say, son, you don't have to do nothing. All you got to do is just, God's done it all for you. You just go back to Ethiopia and you're saved. Because you know, you believe. know. You know, some people don't think about it, but faith itself, according to John, I believe it's John chapter 6, faith itself is a work, isn't it?
Absolutely, John 6:29, faith is a work. And they asked that question, what must we do to work the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom you have sent.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it interesting and not a coincidence at all that in John 6 and verse 29, faith is called a work. In Titus 3 and verse 5, baptism is called mercy. And we today get those in reverse. And we'll say that baptism is a work and all that. And in faith, well, faith is not a work, you know. But Christ said faith was a work. And Titus 3 and verse 5, and we can show you that connection when he talks about by his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which connects you with John 3, 5. But Titus 3, 5, here's mercy, and it connects with baptism. And so the very act that people want to say is works, work salvation, and so forth, God calls mercy. And the thing that people want to call mercy, he calls work. John 6, verse 29. So, you know, is it anything alone that saves us? Are there things that would say, well, just do this one thing. If you just do the one thing, then that's plenty. Is that what we're finding then?
I don't see that in my Bible. Do you, Justin? I don't see that word alone on any of what we've said. Nothing. And I just not here. Matthew 7, 24 through 26. Let's see what Jesus says about these things. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Do it.
You hear them.
Right?
Hear them and do them.
I'm not reading that from Church of Christ perspective. I'm just reading what the King James says here. And that one in the King James in red letter edition. Some people don't want to believe in anything but red letter edition. Well, let's look at it. Jesus said, if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, not if you just hear them, say, oh, that's a good idea. Thank you, Lord. You'd have to do what he said. And it goes on, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a foolish man to build his house on the sand. Well, according to that passage, hearing saves us. But not just hearing, doing. So we wonder what we should do. First thing we have to do is listen to what God says. It tells us. So what do I have to do? I have to listen. When Jesus was on this earth, he did a lot of preaching, 3.5 years. And people wanted to hear what he said right there at the first. But if you look at John chapter 6, Jared, what I see there is that there's a whole lot of people that are just like the folks were in John 6. Oh, they were on the Lord's side. He was feeding their bellies. They were having a big time. They were coming and eating fish and bread and having a great time. But then when Jesus told them, you have to eat of my body and drink of my blood, got a problem. Don't like that. And then they began to start leaving him because they did not like what he said. Now, I don't know how y'all are, but I've talked to people an awful lot that it's sad. But you'll just read them what the Bible says or have them read it. And they'll get mad, get up, and walk out. Well, is that honest? Does a person really want to know what God says to do?
If you're going to walk away from what God says, then that's not an honest person. I mean, you can't just walk away and say you don't like it anymore. We've got to accept what the Lord has said and accept what he has revealed to us. And we have to do that even when we don't like it, or even if that's not what my grandmother said. We've got to do it even when, you know, that's not what I've experienced or what I've heard or what the preacher said. I've got to accept what the Lord has said and do so without delay. And that's the key point right there. And so often that is ignored. And you talk about John chapter 6, that's what happened to him. When Jesus said things they didn't want to hear, then they said, well, we're through with you, Jesus. And many, John 6 and verse 66, many, not a few, many of his disciples walked no more with him. Well, what about us? Are we going to accept what he has said or not? And so far, the things we've talked about are relative to just what God has done. Is there anything for a man to do? I suggest to you that there is, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but let me pause for a moment and remind everybody that this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets together on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:45 for our worship time, and 5 in the afternoon for worship. We also meet Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for a period of Bible study, and you'll be our honored guest if you come and be with us. At any and every time that you can, we meet right across the road from the Sacramento Bank. We'd love to see you, love for you to be with us. We meet near the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79 in Caneyville, there in Grayson County. And would love for you to come, visit, ask your Bible questions, see what we're about, see what we do. You're more than welcome at any time. And if you'd like to, you can go to our website, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com, where you can have access to 24/7 access to all kinds of Bible studies, sermons, and radio programs, and reading material, and all kinds of things. And our Facebook page, you can go to Facebook and look us up there. You can like us, follow us, and keep up with us, ask your questions, and so forth. If you want to talk to me, maybe you want a correspondence course, or maybe you just want to talk and ask your Bible question to me personally, call me, 589-4167, or text me. Either way, I'd love to hear from you, love to talk to you about these things of a spiritual nature. I mean, that's what it's about. That's why we're here. That's why we want to do what we're doing. And that's why we're striving so hard to spread the gospel, is to let folks know what's necessary to be saved and how to be right with God. And again, if you have questions, just please make sure and ask. You're more than welcome to do that at any time. And so when you think about this, we're talking about what saves us. We've talked about things such as God saving us and the blood saving us and grace and mercy and hope and all of that. And those are so many things that God does. And then we said, does that mean that God only? In other words, is it just all on God and nothing on me? Well, what does the Bible say relative to that? Are there things that a man must do? Well, oftentimes we'll hear people say this. They'll say, you know what? What you need to do is you need to believe. Faith only. And so, whenever you read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for example, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, Stan and Jordan, there it is. Would it be then that we have a passage that says that the grace, okay, now that's on God's side, by grace are you saved through faith only. And then because of that, now, that's all that's necessary, is just faith only, because of that verse, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. What about that? Would that be a true statement or false, and why?
Well, according to what people believe, they say faith only, and use that passage. But you can't have faith only and grace only. That's one too many only. And so it has to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's either faith only or grace only. Uh-oh, we got a problem again. Well, I want to go back and say, well, God does it all for me, just like we've talked about. We have to recognize that faith does save us. Hebrews tells us that, and Romans 5:1 says we're justified by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to him must believe he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You just can't get over that. Faith saves us. But what kind of faith? Well, according to James chapter 2, we talked about that word only a minute ago. That word is used in James chapter 2 with the idea of faith, and the only time it's used there. In verse 24 of James chapter 2, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So evidently they were having some people back then that thought that would be a great idea. But it's not by faith only. Faith and works are not exclusive to one another. They work together. It's like a watch has many parts, and without a part of your watch, it doesn't keep the time it needs to. It needs all the parts right there. It just clicks and keeps everything just exactly like it needs to be. Same thing with salvation. When we work the works of God, when we do the things God tells us to do, when we listen, when we understand his grace and his mercy includes works of faith and is not exclusive to that, then we understand how the thing works and how it takes and how beautiful it is and how much we can depend. But you leave parts out, you've got a problem.
Absolutely. We talk about faith. I mean, it's obvious the Bible talks about faith saves, but does it say faith only saves? And you've shown us that. You know, the Bible talks about repentance saving us. Over in the book of Acts chapter 2, Jordan, why don't you read that for us? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when the people there on the day of Pentecost had heard the word, and then he tells them to know assuredly, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ, in Acts 2:36. When he says that, to know assuredly means to believe. Well, then the very next thing out of their mouth is, in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, if faith only was all that's necessary, then Acts 2:36 was that answer. 2:37, they say, what shall we do? Then the answer should be, men and brethren, you are done. Men and brethren, you are saved. If you'll just believe with what I told you, then you're a saved person. Now look over, though, and you read this to us, Jordan. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. What was Peter's answer when they asked, what shall we do?
Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So evidently there was something else to do then, wasn't there? We had...
In Acts 17:32, Jared.
Okay.
The Lord commands all men everywhere to repent.
He commands all men everywhere to repent. So if God commands, all right, well, that pretty much says it all right there. God's commanded something, and he's commanded all men everywhere to do something. And in what was that? Well,
all men everywhere to repent.
Mm-hmm. So if I have faith... And no one denies the importance of faith, but if I have faith and then repentance is a command, is that faith only?
Yeah, baby.
How can it be faith only if you've got two things?
Yep. Just like grace and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Same type thing. That word only is getting us in trouble again.
Yeah. Well, I find it fascinating that people have plugged that word in only in where it is not there. And that's the thing. Are we saved by faith? Amen and amen. Are we saved by faith only? No. See? Are we saved by grace? Yes. Grace only? Nope. And you just go down the list. Here's what a man needs to do, faith and repentance, to confess Christ as the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 talks about this. Mm-hmm. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And yes, to be baptized. So when you baptized, because in fact, Jordan, you just read that to us. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can be forgiven. So what was necessary in these last few moments here as we're kind of coming to a close, what do we find as we sum these things up? What's going on then? Concerning salvation, you know, is it one thing alone? Is that what is so popular today? Is that what's being taught by God?
No. God had a role in sending his son and presenting his word to us. God had a role, and Christ had a role in dying for us. The Holy Spirit has a role in revealing the word to us. God's mercy, long-suffering, patience, faith, and love. In mankind is all that he did. All of those things the Lord saw and that the Lord has administered to us, and he's patient with us, careful with us. We have a hope in Christ Jesus. All of those things, like you said, are God's part. When God gives me those types of things, I have to respond somehow. Mm-hmm. Pretty thankless person has all that done for them. Don't do anything about it. Don't you think, Justin? Jordan?
Yeah. And so... Yeah.
So I'm having problems. Here, can you say that? Can you say that one more time?
All he was saying was putting that all together is all the things that God has done. Then man certainly has to respond by being grateful, and in his gratitude,
yes,
would he not believe on him, repent of your sins, confess, and be baptized? What little thing it is for God for us to do. In response to all the things that God has done. That's the blessing. That's the wonderful thing about it. I tell you what, if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you have not accepted the Lord's plan of salvation, the complete plan of salvation, then this is the time to do it. And if I can help you, I'll be glad to do that. And let's talk again. Call me, 589-4167. Let's talk about what's necessary to be saved and how to be right in the sight of God. So thankful for this time. I'm so thankful for our study. So thankful we can be together like this. And I hope that as a result of our study, it'll help you, it'll encourage you and challenge you. Thank you, men, for being with us today. Jordan and Stan, we're so glad that you're here. Look forward to being with you again. But until next time, Lord willing, we bid you good day.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.